And he offered the greatest gift the world has ever known. And our job is to simply receive that gift with joy. You know, over the past few days, Neva and I have, wrapped all the gifts that we have for our grandchildren. And unfortunately, this year we only get to see half of our grandchildren. But it's such a delight as a gramps. That's what I'm known as, a gramps, not grandpa, gramps. Gramps and Nana, we get to watch the kids open them. And that is such a delight. If you're a grandfather, grandmother, you know what that feeling is like. And but one thing that I've noticed amongst our grandkids is that they get this nicely wrapped gift that we spend so much time on it, and they all open it a different way, right? Daxon, my grandson, like, every year, this may sound stupid to you, but every year, Neva and I, we get our dog, Nova, a Christmas gift, and we wrap it up for her. And it has the same thing every year. Three little tiny balls that she loves to play with. And she's nuts. She knows what it is even before, because she can smell them, right? But then she just shreds the gift until she gets the ball. And they come in this nylon bag, and she will rip through the nylon bag to get to these balls. Well, Daxon's sort of like that, right? He will get it. He doesn't care. In fact, when I wrap presents, I make sure that there is not a single area where you can get a finger under. I want to make it difficult for them. And so I wrap it up nice. But Daxon, he destroys the gift. He doesn't care one bit. He sees wrapping paper as an obstacle to the prize inside. But then my granddaughter, Calla, she looks at a gift, and she's sort of like, how can I get this off without tearing? Drives me nuts. Takes forever, right? Sure enough, she will get the gift inside after unwrapping it without tearing the paper. And, I just find it so enjoyable about watching our grandkids unwrap. But they're so different in how they do it. And I thought this would be a good place to watch a video. And so let's just sort of hunker down and watch this video.
It's a Hatchimal! It's a Hatchimal! It's a Hatchimal!
I knew it.
What is it?
The phone I wanted.
Oh, all right. Open it quick. What is it?
We got the Nintendo! Now we can play it! Yeah! Yeah!
Hooray! Hooray!
Baby's on the list. It's a fire squad. I just got a package for you, so.
I just got an iPhone!
What happened? Thank you so much!
No. It's our own. Santa fixed your Switch. I don't know.
Daddy.
How do you do that?
Pull it.
Like this? We're going to
read the middle.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Today? Today? Today?
Today?
Yes.
Not again.
Not again what?
Not Hot Wheels.
It's sort of fun. It brings back lots of great memories and stuff. And, you know, and you find that there's quite a stark contrast the way, you know, as we get older, we become a little bit more subdued and maybe even apathetic or maybe even complacent in the way that we receive gifts from others. It's we treat it sometimes as we get older that it's just the same old, same old, same old. And, you know, how do you receive gifts? Are you filled with joy and excitement or something else? If you've given your life to Christ, do you remember how it felt when you first received the gift of salvation and forgiveness? You know, were you overcome with joy? And as you reflect on that moment this holiday season, how does it make you feel? I remember very clearly the day that I gave my life to Jesus. I literally felt like I was a superhero. I did. I felt like I had so much power, so much strength. I knew my life had changed in that moment. And I wondered how it would make you feel when you reflect back on that day. Now, if love was the motive behind the gift of Jesus, and God took the initiative to give the gift, then what responsibilities do we have to receive it? And I would argue that of all the gifts that a person could receive in their life, this is the greatest one. This is the greatest one. This is the one that really matters the most. And if it's a gift you've already received, then it is time to reflect on it and consider, you know, the magnificent love expressed by God through the giving of his son. Because this is Advent love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I don't know about you, but when you get a present, whatever size or shape that it is, and it's something that is sort of unexpected, and you open it, like, isn't it something that you want to tell others? You know, especially if they're good ones. Don't you want to share those with others? You know, this whole idea of giving and sharing with others is actually captured in the Bible. And you've probably heard this voice at one point, as it's become a fairly common saying even outside of church life. In Acts 20, verse 35, it says, "In everything I did, I showed you by..." Excuse me. "I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" And you know what the part that I like about this verse the most? It says, "The Lord Jesus himself said." As if to say that this isn't some other human's good idea. This is God's idea. He knows it's better to give than to receive. And so it only makes sense that we would be overjoyed and excited about sharing and giving the love of God with others this holiday season. That makes sense. And I say that knowing that it doesn't feel that way all the time. In fact, it can begin to feel like just another thing that we have to get done in an already overloaded and stacked holiday schedule. I'm quite convinced that one of the reasons I have not felt well for this last month is just the busyness of the season. There's always things going on at the life of the church. There's always people to see. There's always events to have. Even today for me, like it's a full day. And my body sort of gets worn down, and, you know, and I, And I can easily lose focus on what the real reason for the season is. You know, when you think about the idea of having to tell others about Jesus, I wonder sometimes how that is going to fit in my holiday parties and gifts for other people and wrapping them and menu planning for the guests that you have come into your house, decorating the house and everything else. It's honestly a very big dilemma, and I know that I'm not the only one who doesn't feel great about it. And so here is an alternative approach. Just what if we took some time this week, whatever that is, because we've only got just a few short days left before Christmas, and we just sort of cleared some time and space with the specific intention of sharing love with someone else. Maybe that's a neighbor, or you just, you know, you're already in baking mode. If you bake them a plate of cookies and you take it to them and just say, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thanks for being a good neighbor. You know, could you bless them like that? How about a coworker? Or you just go out of your way to wish them a Merry Christmas and inject some positivity into their life. A family friend, a coworker, a contact on your phone. And it doesn't have to be something massive or extravagant. Maybe it just has to show care and compassion for one another. And if I had to guess, even a small gesture would feel amazing being on the receiving end of things, because it's already a hectic season. And your gift that you gave for myself and Emmett too, that is so appreciated. And I thank you for thinking of it, of Neve and I, it means the world to us, and we're encouraged by it, and it helps us to press on. You know, when you give, it only makes sense that we would be overjoyed and excited about sharing, about giving, about passing on the love of God with others this holiday season. And I say that knowing that it doesn't feel that way all the time. In fact, it can feel like it's just another thing that we have to get done in an already overloaded and stacked holiday schedule. You know, how are we supposed to fit that into all the things that we are doing? You know, I just want to encourage you that maybe this Christmas season, an interruption of love and compassion would actually be worthy of a celebration. You know, when I say the word celebration, you know, what would come to your mind? You know, is it a specific event or occasion that you would immediately think about? As you're thinking, can you imagine just for a moment the celebration that must have occurred when the people in and around Bethlehem began to realize that the Messiah had been born? This kind of moment that I'm describing, actually, this celebration was captured in the scriptures. In Luke chapter 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You know, this scene happens immediately after the angel proclaims to the shepherds that he has got good news that will bring people great joy, bring great joy to all the people. And amazingly, in that celebration, in that moment, an entire heavenly host appears at the proclamation, and a proper celebration of praise ensues. You know, I think that ought to be a real clear picture for us today of how we should respond to the news of Jesus' birth. It shouldn't be a ho-hum sort of drab kind of thing, because Jesus is the fulfillment of hope, and he is the Prince of Peace, and through him we can experience a peace in and among ourselves that transcends human understanding. He is the cause for great joy, as we just read. And behind it all, he is the cosmic, divine, redemptive love of God, who would give his one and only son in order to be reconciled with his creation. This is good news, and this is worthy of a proper celebration. This is the thing that you can share with your neighbors and friends with over a plate of cookies, or have them into your home, or go carol, you know, whatever it is that floats your boat. You know, and so as we wrap up today, it strikes me that the next time we meet together, we will be celebrating and remembering the arrival of Jesus. And so I want to leave you with three challenges before next Sunday night. I want you to receive the gift of Christmas with joy and gratitude. If you're a believer in Christ, remember the day that he saved you. Remember what he's done in your life, how he's called you into his family, how he has redeemed you, how he has set you on a new path in your life. And if you haven't yet received the gift of Christmas, I would encourage you to embrace Jesus as your own Savior this morning. And if possible, then share that gift. That gift of love, that gift of forgiveness with others in your life, whether it's neighbors, coworkers, family, friends, because it's better to give than to receive. And I want you to experience how amazing it feels to give the gospel away for yourself. So inject yourself in a very kind, loving, giving way to someone this season. And finally, prepare your heart for a proper celebration, because Christmas is a time to celebrate. It's a time to worship. It's a time to praise. It's a time to thank God for all he has done and will continue to do in our lives. And I can't wait to see you all next Sunday on Christmas Eve. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us so much that you gave your one and only son for us. Thank you that every year we have the opportunity to reflect and remember the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus. And through him, eternal life and redemption. We are grateful for this gift of your son. In Jesus' name, amen.